Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring true Christianity for today. Are you deceived? Now, you may say, well, no, I'm not deceived. I'm a good person. How do you know? What is the standard? Because the Bible says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but that's all contrary to the Word of God. So, are you deceived? And if so, how much? So we'll look into that, and I want you to open your mind to the possibility that you may have been deceived and do not even understand that. Yet you look in the world and you can see the lies of the politicians, you can see the lies of the entertainment industry, you can see the lies of the manufacturing industry.
The so-called defeat device was found on millions of its cars, leading to one of the costliest scandals in auto history.
11 million Volkswagen diesel vehicles worldwide. That's how many the car company admitted to illegally adding a software cheat to make the engines appear more environmentally friendly.
But what about the lies of Christianity in the world?
And give you a chance to raise your income. Praise God. You missed a place to shout right there that you need to get used to this now. Amen. Glory to God. Of course, all of our offerings will go toward the outreaches of Kenneth Copeland Ministries and especially Kenneth Copeland Ministries Canada. And it is, and the territories under which the Canadian office is.
Let's read a scripture we've all read before, but let's go back and read it again. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Now, why is this important? Because this is a prophecy for today, as well as a historical reference going back in time. So let's read it. And a great dragon was cast out. Now, who is the dragon? It tells us right here. Now, stop and think for just a minute. You look at all these pagan religions, and every one of them start out with a serpent or a dragon, whatever. And that shows you that everything that they have, now there may be some grains of truth in what they have, but it's all on a foundation of lies. So even if you have a few truths, if it's on a foundation of lies, those are truths that are put in there by Satan, the devil, to deceive you. Have you ever thought of it that way? Or ever looked at it that way? Great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan. Now notice the next phrase. Because in the original Greek, this is what is called a present tense participle. Now, when this was written, it was written about 97 AD, so we're looking at pretty close to 1900 years that this was given, not only as a statement then, but as a prophecy for the future. Who is deceiving the whole world. Now, are you part and parcel of the world? What does that mean? You might say, well, how am I deceived? Well, we'll look at that in just a little bit, and it may shock you, especially if you go to church every week, and especially if you go to church on Sunday, because if you are part of this world, the way the world is, then you're deceived. Now, are you willing to admit that you are wrong? Are you willing to admit that you believe lies? Are you willing to admit that you tell lies to your children?
It's the best feeling in the world. You get taken back to when you were a child and you have those memories.
Christmas has always been a magical time of year for the Kochenauer family in Menor. And the parents of 9-year-old Ella Kochenauer believe the tradition of Christmas and the legend of Santa Claus provide important lessons for Ella and her brother and sister. Ella Kochenauer is a third grader at Sterling Morton Elementary School in Menor. And her mother says while a substitute teacher was filling in last Wednesday, Ella and her classmates were excited to show her the elf on the shelf in the classroom. Ashley Kochenauer says her daughter was devastated by what the teacher then told the class.
She immediately just broke into tears, and she said that the teacher told her that Santa Claus isn't real, Christmas isn't real, and Christmas elves aren't real. It's all made up.
What was your reaction?
I was angry. I was heartbroken because that was taken away from my daughter, and it hurt. I just want to know why she took it upon herself to do that. I want to know why she felt it was okay to shatter a childhood, anybody's childhood.
The principal of Sterling Morton assured parents that the teacher is no longer welcome at the school.
The Santa myth is such an involved lie, such a long-lasting one between parents and children, that if a relationship is vulnerable, this may be the final straw. If parents can lie so convincingly and over such a long time, what else can they lie about? The article's lead author, Chris Boyle, is critical of parents who use Santa Claus as a parenting tool to control children.
Are you willing to admit that you lie to other people? Now, if you say yes to any of those things, that's because you have a carnal mind. Now, a carnal mind is described this way by the Apostle Paul, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, we'll talk about that a little later, but I want you to think about that. Now, let's come back here to the Gospel of John. And the setting here in the Gospel of John is really quite interesting, because it's right at the temple of God when Jesus was there. Now, a little sidebar, that is a fundamental scripture that is given in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we understand what we're going to read here in John 8. Because this was at the temple of God. Now, you would think that the temple of God would be the place where everyone associated with it would be upholding the truth. Just like you would think if you go to church on Sunday, Why, these people are true, these people are honest, these people are good, and the pastor's a wonderful person. But he is lying to you, especially if he says that you don't have to keep the Sabbath as the Bible says, because that is a lie. Now, was no different back there during the days of Jesus. The priest, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and even people coming to the temple, where there should be the truth, where there should be righteousness. But just like the scripture we read, Satan the devil is deceiving the whole world. Now let's see what Jesus tells the religious leaders when they confronted him because of what he said. Now let's notice what they claim, because they thought in their deception that they were true. Verse 38, I speak the things that I've seen from my Father, and you do the things you have seen from your father. If Jesus came from God the Father, and Jesus didn't acknowledge that they were worshiping the true God. Now, this is at the temple of God. Now, this tells us a good lesson. Verse 39, they answered, said to him, our father is Abraham. Yes, we are the chosen people. Can the chosen people be deceived? Of course, those are the ones Satan wants to deceive most of all. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, what is it said that Abraham did? Now, this becomes very important with true New Testament doctrine. It said that Abraham obeyed my voice and my charge, kept my commandments and my statutes, back in the book of Genesis, obeyed the voice of God. Now notice what he continues to say. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you. Do you love the truth? Now what if someone comes along and brings you the truth, and it's contrary to what you believe and what you keep? Are you willing to take the challenge and prove whether that truth is really true and whether what you believe and what you do is wrong and evil and sin? Let's go on. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you, which I've heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You were doing the works of your father. What is the works of their father? Then they said to him, we have not been born of fornication. We have one father, and that is God. Now notice, I want you to ask this question of yourself, because this is from Jesus. Therefore, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me because I proceeded forth and came from God. For I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Are you of God the Father? Or are you of the Father of the Jews? We'll see who that is in just a bit. And he's the father of all the religions of this world. Verse 43, let this sink into you. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot bear to hear my words. Now why? Because they were blinded. Why were they blinded? Well, let's stop and ask a question. Are you blinded? There's spiritual blindness, which means that you cannot understand the words of God. And that's what he's referring to here. Now notice verse 44. Why does this spiritual blindness set in? And how pervasive is it in the world? How pervasive is it in your own life? Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to practice. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. Do you believe lies as though they are true?
Those of Jewish origin were the first to celebrate the resurrection, likely as a new facet of the Passover festival. In 325 AD, Roman Emperor Constantine and the Council of Nicaea ruled that Easter must fall only on a Sunday. Easter Sunday would be the first Sunday to follow the full moon after the spring equinox. It could occur anywhere between March 22nd and April 25th. As Christianity spread throughout Europe, different pagan customs blended into the holidays. In fact, the actual word Easter may have come from Estra, the goddess of spring and fertility. Which brings us to the Easter egg. Eggs have been a mythological symbol of birth for thousands of years. Christians adopted the egg as an Easter custom sometime around the 13th century. The yolk inside a shell represented Christ's emergence from the tomb. Eggs were painted red to represent the blood Christ shed on the cross. The colorful Easter egg soon hatched its own traditions. A popular one was egg rolling. In 1876, Congress prohibited kids from playing on the Capitol grounds. So, President Rutherford B. Hayes opened the White House lawn to the little rollers. After that, the White House Easter egg roll became a tradition. So when did that Easter bunny hop into the scene? The fertile rabbit had long been a symbol of new life in European pagan celebrations. Beginning around the 16th century, parents told children that if they behaved, on the eve of Easter, the Osterhas would come and lay colorful eggs. Children built nests in their homes to entice the rabbit to visit. And so began the customs of the Easter egg hunt and the Easter basket. To help fill out those baskets, 19th century European chocolatiers began making egg-shaped chocolates. The sweet trend quickly spread throughout the world. Today, billions of dollars are spent each year on Easter candy. Easter.
Do you believe the greatest lie of Protestantism? Do you know what that lie is? Well, we'll get to it in just a little bit, but it's going to astound you. Let's go on. Verse 45. Now, if you have resistance to what I'm telling you, you need to think, do you fit into verse 45? And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Why? Because they believe their lies. And they believe their lies to be true. And that's the way it is with most of the people in the world, especially when it comes to Christianity. And you might say, how could that be? How could that be?
This is holy water. I don't know if you brought any.
120 knots at 1,000 feet isn't normally where you'd find the Blessed Sacrament. Father Anthony saw a video of the Air Force in Italy flying a priest on a plane to bless the people and try to mitigate what is happening.
I saw that, and then some of my parishioners says, well, maybe we can do it. And of course, I jumped on it right away.
Using history as a guideline, Father Anthony brought up the importance of the Blessed Sacrament during times of tribulation.
Popes would process in the streets with the monstrance with the Blessed Sacrament. In fact, one of the popes ordered that the Blessed Sacrament would be exposed in every church in Rome for 40 hours. And after that time, the plague seemed to subside. So in that same tradition, instead of walking in procession with Jesus, we're going to fly with him around the perimeters of the whole diocese. So that way we can pray that Jesus will bless, heal, and We pray that this virus will be contained, will be stopped. Because medicine is wonderful, but at a certain point, it's only God that can effect miracles.
Which one of you can convict me of sin? But if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? Now here's the standard right here. Verse 47. The one who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear because you are not of God. Yet these were the very priests of God. These were the very people of God. And even some of those who profess to be disciples of Jesus at the temple didn't believe him. Let's come back and pick it up here a little bit. Verse 31. Therefore, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. Now, there are a lot of people who believe in Jesus. Millions and millions and millions profess it, but they do not believe the truth. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth. They didn't know the truth because they were of their father the devil and were deceived. And the truth shall set you free. Set you free from the religious lies that are promulgated right here at the temple, which is the temple of God. And you have to remember, they became so sinful and so hateful and everything like that, that 40 years after this encounter with Jesus, God sent the Romans armies to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and tear it down because they rejected Jesus. Now today, there are a lot of people who believe the law is done away. They listen to their preacher, and that sounds so good. All you have to do is believe. But look at what Jesus said to them back there. If you believe, then you will be my disciples, and the truth, which is the word of God, and Jesus is truth incarnated, will set you free. Now let's come to Matthew, the fifth chapter. Now this is right at the beginning of his ministry. And I don't think you are going to hear this read very much in any Sunday-keeping church. But if you do, they will twist it to make it say something it doesn't say. So let's read it. Verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Now, what does it mean, fulfill? Does it mean to do away with it? Or does it mean something else? Because you cannot say fulfill means to abolish or do away when he said, don't even think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. And that's one of the niftiest lies that is preached how many times every Sunday on television and in churches. Now let's see what Jesus says to explain it. Verse 18. For truly I say to you, or that is, I am telling you the truth, until the heaven and the earth shall pass away. Now, we know that the heaven and earth have not passed away. Think about that. Now, notice what he says. One jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law until everything has been fulfilled. Now, what does that mean? Has everything been fulfilled? What is the whole gospel of the New Testament, the gospel of the kingdom of God? Talking about the return of Christ and setting up the kingdom of God on the earth. And it goes beyond that. And the last part of the book of Revelation talks about new heaven and new earth. Obviously, that hasn't happened, has it? No, it hasn't. But what does it mean, fulfill? That means to complete. So Jesus came to complete the law and to complete and fulfill the prophets up to that point with his life. And furthermore, by directing everything from the throne of God, everything that takes us to the end of the book of Revelation. And it will be done. Now notice this warning. Therefore, whoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall practice and teach them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now think about that for a minute. Are you a Sunday keeper? Have you heard this explained a different way in Sunday keeping church? One of the biggest lies that all Protestantism believes is that the Sabbath has been done away and replaced with Sunday. If that occurred, and if that were true, then heaven and earth will have already been passed away. How critical is that lie from Satan the devil that sounds blessedly true? Now you think about that for a minute. Now, you need our book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? And this is going to be an eye-opener to you. Now, occult holidays means that they originated from Satan the devil. And how did they originate from him? In various and different religions. And those have been absorbed into what is the Christian community in the world today. When you look at the Catholics, it's easy to see that they're all pagan. But all of the Protestants still follow Rome by keeping Sunday. Now, this book will show you that every one of the things that the world is doing and you're probably doing by keeping Sunday, by keeping the holidays of this world, you have been deceived. Now, are you willing to admit that? Do you really want the truth? Because only the truth as we read will set you free. Which means, if you're not willing to accept the truth and believe the truth and live by the truth, you are a slave to sin. And Satan always likes to come and present his way as a benefit. And involve the whole family. And that way, get everybody locked into the system. And they all think they're doing the will of God and doing good because their form of Christianity sanctions it. But we will see God denounces it. But how could that be? That's so much fun. That's the point of deception. So, if you want to be free from deception, the truth will set you free. So, once again, thank you for inviting me into your home So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.